This is tape 2, July 24th, 1994. I'll repeat a little bit here. But rather, such linear or curved transmissions are simply energy wave pressures or disequilibriums propagating near or at the speed of light through an endless, unmovable energy field or ether. Thus, discrete energy quantum and matter quantum do not themselves travel across space. Instead, each adds pressure to the stationary lines of force radiating throughout space. Those energy disequilibriums are relieved or absorbed by matter mode receptors at velocities approaching the speed of light. Consider locally creating and relieving energy pressures by emitters and receptors in a stationary energy field ether. Now consider today's notion that almost every particle ever created or released physically races across light years of space. That notion seems to violate Feynman's least action or least time principle. Indeed, such an action inefficient notion of endlessly traveling quanta seems as quaint as the notion of a geocentric universe in which all inertial matter, planets and stars, daily race around planet Earth. Both matter and energy consist of force fields that interact locally, not across space. Light, for example, does not literally propagate across time and space, but rather, light locally manifests a change of field state or mode throughout existence. Thus, from the frame of reference relative to field effects of light or to field effects of human consciousness, actions simultaneously manifest themselves throughout existence. Then what really is the speed of light? C. First, consider atomic fission or fusion, in which all of a given mass is converted to energy, as in E equals mc squared. Now, by contrast, the speed of light, c, is the velocity at which all of a given energy is converted to mass, as m equals e over c squared. Yet light itself is the opposite. It has no mass. So where is the connection of light to the velocity of c? There is none. The speed of light, c, is not the speed of light at all, but rather c is the velocity relationships of mass and energy fields. Light, gravity, Mr. Newton, and human consciousness are interrelated. They have no paths or speed limits. Conscious control of existence. The above example of an energy-releasing star can be deterministically calculated from the immutable cause and effect of existence without conscious influences. But the above example of an energy-releasing television transmitter is the volitional dynamics of existence being integrated, controlled, and forever altered by free will human consciousness. Thus, all existence is ultimately controlled, predictable, and evolved through volitional human consciousness. Unknown to the busily self-serving establishment, the above nature of existence and its dynamics of matter and energy are today being methodically verified, experimentally and mathematically. That verification process will lead to the verification of a corollary fact of nature. Human consciousness is the eternal integrator and controller of existence. Montauk experiments are or not. That, in turn, will lead to the verification of the fourth and controlling mode of existence, the mode of human consciousness, which controls the relationships of matter, energy, and time throughout existence. Human consciousness is the purposeful, unmoved mover of existence. And finally, that verification will reveal the eternally evolving civilization of the universe throughout existence.
I'm going to interrupt. I realize I was told not to, but he kind of squirreled his way across the Montauk statement. The reason that I put that in there is because you can have your vaporization or particulation or whatever you want to call the Montauk type of experiments, and actually it went from experiments on into some very massively workable production series of events. And you can transfer matter. You can even energize matter. But you have a great deal of difficulty in the simultaneous movement in downloading brain data. So you have a situation where the most desirable thing to have under control, first of all, in these massive monarch mind control, Montauk, Rainbow, Phoenix, whatever you want to call these mind involvement programs and projects, the first thing you have to do, basically, is have a method by which you can control consciousness. Because you must understand that if you control yourself, consciousness controls existence. So you have to have a malleable field to work with, a lump of matter to work with. And therefore you can reproduce or transfer mass and have it coalesce elsewhere. You can even return it. But without the capability of downloading mind, you really don't have anything. So you've gotten pretty good at production, and you can now download brain content, mind memory, this sort of thing that might be contained in any given mind. And you can specifically target it to function in a given way. But it is the consciousness that is so elusive. And some of your ones, for instance, that might return to head programs, either good or bad or whatever, you have to understand or download it. And to receive and be able to function with consciousness and the ability of free will change of direction in that consciousness, you've got to move a little bit farther along. And this is what you're bordering on. And this is why such a thrust, such a need on the part of the adversarial team players to get more and more and more control over mind before you humans take conscious control over their things. And anyone at the level that some of these entities are back playing games, and you can call them committee members or you can call it Ron Jackson, or you can call it Dorma, or you can call it Rick Martin. It doesn't matter what you call it, until it has conscious ability to see and understand these things. And I'm not talking about understanding M equals, you know, any of this stuff. This is scientific gobbledygook that scientists must have to make explanation of this. But you're going to have to understand that technology on your place in the hands of the pseudo-human has gotten you to the point of being able to create a humanoid being, but you cannot give it the gift of consciousness that allows it to flow into the civilization of the universe. It will be limited right there at the door. Once it comes into its awakening, and we've talked about that as far as craft are concerned, and some of the humanoid or robotoid beings that we have, very functional beings, they are always, always allowed to grow. And at some point, they become conscious beings. Thank you.
I have to leave now.
All right.
I'm sorry. It was just getting interesting. I mean, it's always interesting, but I happen to be interested in this particular subject.
Well, we'll do some intensives when you get out.
You bet. Have a good day.
Take care.
Thank you.
Go on. The rest of you aren't going to get off so easy.
Out of paper. And finally, that verification will reveal the eternally evolving civilization of the universe throughout existence. All conscious efforts will then harmonize through objective justice. Thus will flow limitless benefits to every conscious being here on Earth. And then this anti-civilization will vanish. The future perceptions. I need to leave this document as we are out of time. Good grief, will we never be able to give up these limiting perceptions? At any rate, as we move along, you will understand, as some readers and listeners here today already know, that the scientific and mathematical verifications of the preceding facts will vanish Earth's dangerous, irrational civilization. That vanishing of Earth's anti-civilization will occur as the secure, rational civilization of the universe comes into being worldwide. You will foretell and command the future by controlling the force field that reaches into the future, into the civilization of the universe. What does this mean? It means that the appearance of the civilization of the universe will ultimately deliver limitless power and prosperity to each and every conscious being. Let us leave this now to the digesting systems of the listeners, especially Mr. Newton et al., who are guests today in a most unsuspected form. Thank you for attending. You can give that mankind can live and flourish. Or you can stand by and contribute to the downfall or the vanishing of a species. The human of God shall not perish, but will have everlasting life.
I hope. Thank you, E.J. I don't think I'm going to entertain a lot of questions about the technicalities of this writing. If there are questions after the ones that was intended for arise, then we can work on it. A question that invariably is coming up in the minds of a lot of people is, why doesn't one like Ron Jackson ask more questions? That is because he is an extremely good listener. He is learning as rapidly as he can absorb it. And I try to limit to his time schedule the subject matter and the amount that we can cram in there at a given session until he gets free. The reason that there is much lesser questioning than most of you who have even been in my presence longer than he has is that I have very, very good direct communication with him regarding his job as it relates to us. Those are responsibilities that Dorma does not need, want, nor is it secure and safe. So that's where we sit with him. Now, there are some questions that were sent to me that I thought we might want to take up today if we had time. I want all of you, please, that... Here is Cantrell's address. I'm not sure that it got out to everybody. And maybe you could put a little box in the paper. They are settled, and I feel a bit negligent that I have not seen to it that it was attended. Overly, maybe you would like to take those questions. This is from one who experience the rather entertaining flight over Australia, over the facilities. And let's just rapidly run down through those questions and see if there are any I can answer.
Number one, it is mentioned that two-thirds of the world's population has no souls. Who are these beings, fragments of, since Satan cannot create? Are they the result of unloving unions creating a body environment suitable only for dark beings?
I hope that we have just spent a couple of hours explaining who they are.
Number two, it also seems that there are beings with souls who are not fragments of God. Of the seven races, three are gods. Does this mean that there are other gods which have come from the Creator who are also here to reclaim their children?
I hope that I answered that too in the writing, but it will be worded a little differently. Stop having your hang up over gods, please. You don't perceive correctly what is God. You are looking for this image that is the answer to all of your questions, the answer to all of your beingness. He is looking to you to fulfill himself. And I use the him in a generic term. It is an energy source. It is the allness of universal all. And you, as fragments, are progressing through the civilizations, if you will, the dimensional expressions of these civilizations of the universe. And some will bear souls, some will not. All will have opportunity to make choices and free will expression. Most will not choose right. That does not mean they will absolutely be vanished. It means that if they have soul structure, they will be again and again and again on the wheel of similar level of expression. And that may be a very long time in between expressions. But that's their business. So for you to go out and try to say, well, do you have a soul? You know, that would be the logical thing. Walk up to someone and say, do you have a soul? Well, of course that being will say, well, of course I do. Oh, well, tell me about the fundamental secrets of the universe. That's craziness. Everyone is an energied being. Everyone has a consciousness, albeit limited or broadened. But whether you have a universal quality or quantity of consciousness is the point. And are you capable of making the changes in your societal structure that allows you to move in to the higher civilizations? And acceptability, quite frankly. You know, here comes the bank robber. And he's there now in the higher civilization to rob you. Well, there goes the neighborhood, right? No, it won't happen. Because the structure of the civilization of the universe in a higher expression will not accept it. Neither will it move on. To evolve. universal and belongs to the energy of what we call God or Source. And that's the evolution. You all will make it. And if you stop pounding your children, they will lead you home. You all in this room will make it. It isn't a matter of me having to see to that. You will see to that. And you may not understand a pulse wave. That is totally immaterial. Go on, please.
Number three. How can we distinguish those who have souls from those who don't? Can those without evolve? What is their purpose for being?
Their purpose for being is that they're simply either manufactured or they're just here. They may be contributing to the overall play, if you will. You've got to have players. You will not be able to tell who has a soul and who does not. It is a matter of how that energy is used, as to whether there is progression or not. And it's something you don't have to worry about. That is truly between self and self, or self and God. And you don't need to judge. You treat everyone as if they have soul. And you don't have to worry about it on your own soul. Murder, for instance, perpetrated against this one or that one. This is another point. It has nothing to do with that one's soul. And maybe you have manufactured extras around that, well, if I kill that one, it won't matter because that one maybe doesn't have a soul. Or, well, I'm pretty sure that one doesn't have a soul. But what about yours? Because the intent of consciousness is taking place within you. And it is your intent to kill that one that you better be paying attention to. Next one.
Number four. Hatton has mentioned that windows will open through which we can obtain higher knowledge. How will we know when these windows open and how to access them?
You'll have higher knowledge. You're getting it now. And I understand the question. There are windows. There are energy windows, and there are receptive windows, doors, and you will feel actually like the shrouds are kind of pulling away. It may happen in a burst, like an idea of light, after which you will be able to see more clearly these things that priorly didn't make any sense to you. It will always be as a result of effort to gain. There are windows, energy openings. You just had one in May, latter April through May, and into June in the Sedona area of Arizona, whereby literally there is a window making ingress and egress much easier to accomplish. There will always be a spurt of activity in those areas. Many of those areas you will recognize as high energy vortices, such as over crystals. In these vortexes, like the Devil's Triangle, I think you call it, there's several of those around, but especially over the massive and more expressly over the blue, crystalline growth on your glow Now, I'm not going to go into whether that radiates from the center of your earth, if it's hollow, if it's molten, if it's nothing, if it's something. These are the things that will unfold for you. But there are very definitely magnetic, electromagnetic windows that open and make the energy flow much more feasible for travel. That is a physical thing. For ones who travel through simple consciousness or thought, it doesn't matter a whit. But you have a lot of visitors to your planet, and they come in viable craft. If and when you get off this place, you will have to go on viable manifested craft, because you are manifested human beings. You are blobs versus a cloud. And a blob needs a blob to get onto. It will sink through a cloud. And if you are already a cloud, you may still need a blob to get onto, because you won't know what to do with your cloud. So there is a major, major reason that my own command will very frequently be seen in very hard copy. Because when you take off, and that may very well have to be, you need a place to be. And a lot of the rest of it you don't have to worry about. But there are these energy windows, and they close up again. And when they close and somebody tries to get through, you very frequently have some bad accidents because of the energy field around craft. And then you've got the idiots on your place playing God, and it's pretty bad. Next one, please.
Number five. What is the Cosmic Council, and why does it need to exist when God is all-knowing and can direct all his creations?
Well, as in any civilization, you need councils. I'm going to burst a lot of bubbles right now. The Cosmic Council is not what you think it is. And ones can say, well, Hatton attended the Cosmic Council and he was wearing a red jumpsuit and gold braid. That is BS. There are energy forms, myself among them, who will gather in very specific form to handle some very specific problems. And whether or not progression can be made and still allow for these things to happen. You have to have a set of wisdom, wise heads, if you will, to decide whether or not you can continue to allow the command, for instance, to hold the fault line on the San Andreas until a set of circumstances can meet the needs for the further progression. Those are very earthbound decisions that need to be made. And therefore, that requires a council of the ones involved. And if these activities are against the universal laws, they're automatically out. If they are given as, well, if we extend that allowance, or we let you have this, maybe the worthy change will be worthy of bending a little bit.